let me tell you something. Nobody who puts their hope in Jesus will be ashamed. Look, it does not matter where you are coming from. What matters is where God is taking you to. Let me tell you something, Psalms 20 verse 7. It says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. So those people who trusted in chariots said now they are brought down and they are falling. But we are standing and we are risen upright. Nobody who calls upon the name of Jesus will God refuse help. I'm speaking prophetically now. I see God pulling you out of the destruction in the economy and pulling you to a place of safety, that you might become beacons of hope in all spheres of human influence, that through you, God will begin to save people upon the earth.
You are now listening to the ministry of Bolu Olatunji.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you because we know that the entrance of your word brings light. We ask that you enlighten our dark places. You open our eyes to see you. You open our hearts to understand. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Today's sermon or podcast, I've titled it, Tears Is Not Enough, or Tears Are Not Enough. And our text will be taken from Luke chapter 7, from verse 36 to 50. It's a lengthy read, and we would have to go through it just so that we get the context in which this title was taken from. Tears Are Not Enough, From Regret to Repentance. Luke chapter 7, verse 36 to 50. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into your house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou'st did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to him little is given, the same loveth little. But to whom little is forgiven, rather, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the just shall live by faith. It's a scripture taken from Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38. The just shall live by faith. You know, sometimes we go to church, we pray, we worship, we try to, you know, live a holy Christian life. But sometimes we struggle. People, Christians, struggle with things, with worries, with fears, with addictions. And they try their best so hard to, you know, deal with it. And as I was thinking of the message today and what to title it, and I said, tears are not enough. You know, sometimes when we do something wrong, we're like, God, have mercy, God, have mercy, God, have mercy, God, have mercy. And, you know, we are crying, you know, we are just, you know, weeping. Let me tell you something. You could cry and still go back and do the same sin. We know we've heard and seen some Christians, tongue-talking, spirit-filled Christians who love the Lord. You see them beating their wives. They hate that they did it. But for some reason, they find themselves, especially when they're angry, hit their wives. And you know, the person goes to the, you know, it's secret place, full of regret, full of condemnation. And let me tell you something, guilt and condemnation empower us to sin again, to repeat the sin again. Now, Jesus has taken upon himself all our sin, right? But it is still possible for a Christian to sin. Now, the sin that Jesus took care of is alienation with God or from God. Now, the sins that humans and Christians still commit is just not walking in God's will. To sin is just simply not walking God's will. For instance, adultery is not walking in God's will. Beating your wife is not working in God's will. And sometimes we know these things. We try our best in our will. We will everything. We try to do everything in our power to stop this. For 2-3 weeks, we don't look at, you know, the erotic websites and all that. And then all of a sudden, we find ourselves engaging in those dirty acts. And we've tried, we've prayed, we've fasted, we've done all these things. Yet, there's something I believe can help us today. It is beyond regret. Regret never really helped anybody. It just made you sit down and beat yourself up so much about the mistakes of your past. Let me start by saying this. It is true that you might have done what they said you did, but you are not who they say you are. The Bible says, and let me start from here, man, and I'll go through the story we just read. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20 says, even if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. To regret is to let your heart fall into condemnation, where your heart begins to condemn you, where you begin to wallow in condemnation. And that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He wasn't talking about sinners. He was talking about Christians. So he's saying that it's possible for you to be a Christian and still live in condemnation. It's possible for you to be born again and still reminisce on the mistake of your past, for you to still have nostalgia about the people you hurt and you're genuinely sorry about. But you cannot help but scratch that itch. You cannot help but, you know, just sit down and wallow in grief. This message is for you to do. So what do we then do? The story here in Luke chapter 7 that we just read was about this woman called Mary, her sister Martha, and her brother Lazarus. This same scripture can be seen in John chapter 12. And we'll see similar accounts, but emphasis on different things. But the emphasis is different. Now, this woman had been forgiven so much. Other portions of scripture called her an adulterer. And it was such a thing of shame. And it's still a thing of shame, particularly in the Jewish culture back then. It was such a thing of shame to be labeled as an adulterous woman, as a harlot, as a prostitute. And this woman began, you know, she saw Jesus. She had heard so much about him. You know, her brother was raised from the dead. You know, and so on and so on. That was Lazarus was raised from dead. And she came and she began to, you know, worship him and you know, wash his feet with tears. You know, when I first read that scripture and I saw that she washed, you know, his feet with tears, I was wondering, did she like cry and cry and cry? And when the tears were enough, you know, how many droplets could she possibly have gathered of tears, right, to wash his feet? And then I went to study the Jewish culture and I realized that in the Jewish culture, there's something they called, that they have called tear bottles, where people go around with bottles in their pouch, in their pockets, or in their, you know, in their bags. And if they are going through anything, where let's say they lose a loved one or they are going through adversity and they are crying, they trap those tears in a bottle, right? And so when she came to Jesus, the tears that she poured on Jesus's feet were not really fresh from her eyes, but they were tears she had stored in that bottle, right? And it was those tears, or these tears, that she pours onto his feet and began to wash his feet, right? Remember, when Jesus was talking about feet, he says, how beautiful are the feet which preach the gospel. She was washing the feet. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, I'll come back to that, because I was just about to say that revelation just jumped at me right now. And, you know, she began to pour the tears and wash his feet, right? And she mopped his feet with her hair and then poured ointment. The emphasis I want us to focus on is not the tears, is the significance of the tears. In other words, everything that made her cry, she poured it at Jesus' feet. Look, everything that is making you cry now, pour it at Jesus' feet. Pour it at the Master's feet. Pour it at the Savior's feet. And she began to pour it at his feet and use the hair of her head, which is her strength. Remember, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul says, it says, the glory of a woman is in her hair. Right? Samson had so much glory and strength that was locked up in his hair. And so this woman used everything she had, right, to wash Jesus's feet. Of course, the alabaster box, which was precious, expensive, right? She poured that also to anoint his feet. I'm going to talk about the significance of those three things shortly. And if you look at three chapters further, in chapter 10 of Luke, you see the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus came to visit them at the house in Bethany. And you know, Jesus was teaching Mary the word, and Martha was up and about trying to serve. Because even in chapter 7, the person who served the food was also Martha, right? She was in the welfare department of Jesus' ministry, right? But I'm trying to provide more context for all the things I'm about to say. And she began to pour her tears. Mary began to pour her tears on Jesus' feet. Pour her regrets. Pour everything at Jesus' feet. What was Jesus' feet representing? Jesus says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. She poured her tears on the gospel. She had heard the gospel. And she poured all her worries, poured all her regrets, poured all her condemnation. That is what happens when you hear the gospel. It's not that you cry, but it's that you empty all your worries, that your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Our sins are forgiven. God is greater than my heart. It is true I did what they said I did, but I am not who they say that I am, because God's word is at work in my heart, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Which now leads to the second thing. What is the significance of what she did? Psalms 19 is where I want to take us to. Let me turn briefly. Psalms 19. Very important scripture. I want to talk about the gospel, the word of God. And let me start by saying this, that the gospel brings transformation, not reformation. The gospel is not a rehabilitation center to try to get our acts right. No. When the gospel comes and is crystallized in our soul, it does not just change our behavior, it turns us into a new person. So much so that when people from your past come to meet you, they're like, "Ah, now we from our past." But they struggle to really recognize you because it has changed you so much. The gospel brings transformation to us, not just reformation, not reformation. Psalms 19 verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul." Are you seeing what I'm saying here? "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." Verse 9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Verse 7 is where I'm going. It says, "The law of the Lord." So in the book of Psalms, sometimes the law is referred to as statutes, commandments. I'm talking about, it's still referring to the gospel. The word of God. It says the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. So look, if you sit down and regret, you cannot repent. It's hard for people who live in regret to actually repent. Repentance is not you crying. And every time a pastor calls for altar call, if you like to give your cries to, because many times we come to the altar, we cry I remember while growing up, every time there was an altar call, I went to the front. But many people give their life to Christ, and on their way home, they take it back from Him. Repentance is changing, is your repentance happens when our hearts respond correctly to the gospel that has been preached to us. Are you seeing what I'm saying? And repentance, to repent is to turn a new leaf. To repent is to change your mind. And you can try to change your mind by your will, but it is God's word that creates that new slate of experiences in our consciousness. That is why it is said here that King David, when he wrote this in Psalms chapter 19 and verse 7, says the law of the Lord is perfect. God's word is the only perfect tool that can convert the soul. God's word is the only perfect experience, perfect event, perfect thing. And it's a living tool that can convert our soul. He said the word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing us under the soul. Are you following what I'm saying here? God's word is the only tool that can truly convert the soul. So if somebody is struggling with addiction, it's not that the person is not praying. It's not that the person is not fasting. It's not that the person is not even a worker in church. It is that the person is not studying the word of God. It is that the person has not given themselves over for the word of God to change them. Are you following what I'm saying here? Submit yourself to the word of God today. Make it a habit to study God's word. Look what happens. After Luke chapter 7, after Mary had poured and responded correctly to the gospel, Jesus came to our house 3 chapters later for maintenance. So the gospel is not a one-time thing you hear. It's something we must hear every day. The word of God is not just something we encounter every Sunday in church. No, it should be a daily habit. We must practice the presence of God daily. Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said, every day you go out and you do things, you watch, come back home and what? Wash your feet. Look, we are surrounded by so much garbage every day, day in, day out. And it affects everybody, even ministers of the gospel. And that is why every day when you come back from the house, you must wash yourself with the word of God. Immerse yourself deeply in scripture. If you find out that you're always on the move, play audio Bible. Even if you're not actively listening to it, let it just be washing. Let it just be playing in the background. Let it feed. Look, you can shut your eyes, you can shut your mouth, but you cannot shut your ears. Let the word of God constantly feed through your ears. Let me tell you, the word of God is the ultimate tool for transformation. God's word is the ultimate tool for transformation. Submit yourself to maintenance every day. And let me tell you, you look for that addiction, you will not find it. If you will submit yourself to the word of God every day, day in, day out, you would find addictions. You look for it, you won't find it. You will try all those your things that you are beating your wife, you are doing things that bring so much shame to you, your family. Submit yourself to the word of God. And I tell you, that thing will be a thing of the past. Andrew Womack was giving a testimony about some of his pastors who were giving to smoking. They had a nicotine habit. They were always smoking, always smoking, always smoking. And Andrew Womack said to them, he said, look, the next time you smoke, just keep confessing God's word. I am free. I am free. And he will smoke and he will puff. I am free. I am free in Jesus' name. Look, the word of God is the only thing that will make us, that is the ultimate guarantee for freedom. It does not, look, I don't care what you are bound by. I don't care what the habit is. Submit yourself to God's word. I remember there was a time, funny story, I was dealing with an addiction one time. And my father found out. You know when an African parent finds out that you're dealing with something, they can break your head. And my father did something that was so unexpected for an African parent. He came to my room, opened the Bible and showed me Romans 8 and said, begin to read this. And the first verse that I saw was, there is therefore now no condemnation. Ah! It shot fire into my spirit. And it was from that day I began to, you see that? And yes, those things kept coming back, right? And I kept reading. I kept reading the word. I kept confessing the word. And let me tell you something. You have to give the word of God time to work in your heart. Apostle Paul was speaking to the Philippian church in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. I think verse 11. So it says, in my presence you have been obedient, now much more than ever before in my absence, right? Obey me. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Usually we read that scripture, We don't read the next scripture, and we take that scripture we have read entirely out of context. He said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. He did not say work for your salvation. He did not say go to church and confess every sin. Let me tell you something, all the sins that you haven't condemned, you cannot even remember most of them. He didn't say confess all your sins. No, he was saying work out your salvation. Why? Because Jesus has worked for your salvation. So it is our responsibility to work it out. Now, the next verse now gives us the key to working out our salvation. Number one, you must do it with honor. That's, you know, with reverence. That, look, Jesus has paid the price. It is now I must take up the responsibility to allow that thing Jesus has worked for to show forth in my life. The next verse in verse 13, he now went on to say, it says, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So yes, you might have the desire to be free from this thing that plagues you. You might have the desire, but you are still struggling with it. He said, but it is God who works in you. Let God work in you, my brother. Let God work in you, my sister. And how God usually prefers to work, his favorite tool to work is his word. So you cannot be a Christian and not say that you do, and not read his word, not find out the things that is there in his word. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16 says, a righteous man may fall 7 times. That's why I said, look, it's possible for you to be a Christian and still make errors. It is possible for you to be a Christian and still make mistakes. He says, a righteous man may fall 7 times, but he will rise again. And it is the word of God that picks us up. It is the word of God that picks us up. Micah chapter 7 and verse 19. You must always put it in your consciousness that God, Micah chapter 7 verse 19 says, for God has buried our iniquities in the depths of the sea. Every day you wake up in the morning, even when you don't even think you've committed any error, even when you don't think you've made a mistake, you wake up and say, Father, I thank you, for you've sunk my iniquities in the depths of the sea. I thank you because you've borne our griefs. Our chastisement, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon you. By your stripes I'm healed. I'm not just healed of sicknesses and diseases. I am healed from the deformities of the soul. People will come and say, they'll start naming different things of their soul. I'm a depressed person. I am this. I have ADHD. No, the word of God is the one that morphs our soul into perfection. The word of God, look, that's what I was saying in Psalm chapter 9. The law of the Lord is perfect. It converts our soul. It does not matter what it is you are going through. It doesn't matter the addictions. It doesn't matter the habits. For some people, their habits is that they eat too much. Their bad habits that they eat too much. Gluttony. God's word will change you. Give God time for his word to change you. Isaiah chapter 35 and verse 3. It says, strengthen the weak hands. Confirm the feeble knees. It is the word of God that strengthens our weak hands. Oh. It is his word that confirms and strengthens our feeble knees. It is on God's word we stand. Look, you can pray from day to day to tomorrow. If God's word is not constantly on your lips, then the question is, what really are you praying about? Because all the sins that you are talking, that you are confessing all day in, day out, that you are still going to definitely repeat, it will become a daily occurrence, and it will continue to be a daily occurrence if we do not practice speaking the word of God. Tears are not enough. It is not enough for us to come and cry every day about the sins that we keep, the mistakes that we keep making. It is enough for us to sit down in regret and wallow in condemnation, self-pity, and grief. We must give ourselves to repentance. And God's word is the ultimate tool that can help us change our hearts. So today, I'm challenging you. Don't pray to God about that addiction anymore. Don't argue with the devil and with your mind. Don't bring to bear the things of your past. No, just sit down with God's word. Where do I start from? Go and read the epistles of John. Start from the epistles of John. Read Romans chapter 8. A friend of mine calls it the constitution of the Christian. Right? It is our constitution. Read Romans chapter 8. The entire chapter of Romans 8. Sit down with Romans chapter 8. Start with the first thing. The first thing says, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation. The last thing that was said in Romans chapter 8, I think 36 to 38, it says, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Look, your deliverance starts when you know that God doesn't condemn you. Your deliverance starts when you know, repentance starts when you know that God loves you more than anything. No matter the lifestyle you're living, God loves you in spite of it. And if you allow his love and if you see his goodness, your heart will begin to change. The Bible says, for the goodness of God has appeared unto all men, instructing them to do away from evil. When you spend time seeing God's goodness, he sees your faith. When you see, and when God sees your faith, and when your faith is strong, when your faith is alive and healthy, you will live by it. For the just shall live by faith. What makes you a righteous man is not all the right actions you do. It is faith in God's word. Because when you believe in God's word, your actions will change accordingly. I believe this has blessed you. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everybody here under the sound of my voice. I pray for everyone struggling with pain, with things that have caused them pain, with addictions, with habits. Lord, I pray that their eyes will open to see your word. Their ears will hear you minister to them, and their hearts would accept the truth that you are not angry with them, that you are not angry with us, and that you love us. You love us so much. Father, we bless you. We bless the Lord, all our souls, and we do not forget all your benefits, Lord. We bless you, O Lord, because we know that you have forgiven all our iniquities. You've cast them into the very depths of the sea. We receive this. We receive this word from you today with open hearts, and we know that the transformation of our lives have begun, and it will continue because your word is the maintainer of our destiny. In you, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.
This message has been brought to you by Campfires, a God-breath ministry with a mission to raise believers as beacons of hope in all spheres of human influence through the teaching of the word of faith and the release of the supernatural. You can find this message on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. To partner with us, or to download more messages, visit our Telegram channel at t.me/campfiresofficial. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on social media at campfiresofficial. God bless you.